with the fractional role, that word no is okay to say. No, that doesn't make sense for me to do that right now, or for the organization itself to do that right now. Yeah. You might need to think about that. You haven't seen the whole picture. Let's talk about that. And I can and get into conversations and engage with them to help them explore things they might not have thought about.
Welcome to Inside CTOX Podcast. I'm Donna, Head of Membership and Partnership, and today we're stepping inside the minds of some of the most innovative tech leaders out there. This isn't just a podcast. It's a place where CTO journeys come alive, where stories of struggles, breakthroughs, and growths unfold. We're here to unpack the experiences of real CTOs navigating through our CTOX Accelerator and membership program. So sit back, tune in, let's get into the story. Welcome to another episode of Inside CTOX. Today, we are so blessed to have the wonderful Paul Benson. Paul once saved a company $12,000 a year just by rethinking how they bought toner. Then he led a 750,000 EMR overhaul that finished early, under budget, and paid for itself. Very impressive. But for years, he stuck to the W-2 script until he didn't. When Paul finally went independent, things just clicked. He has his first client from a past healthcare organization, and then he finds CTOX and shifted from tech lead to strategic advisor. Using our framework, he closed his first full-time CTOX agreement, rebuilt his brand, and is now aiming to 5X his income by 2026. Amazing. And he's not looking for the next job. He's building the next chapter. This is just the beginning. I'm so excited to welcome Paul.
Hi.
So pleased you're with us today.
Thanks.
You spent years, as I mentioned there, as a W-2. What was the push that just broke that pattern and was like, I'm going to bet on myself?
I had gotten released from another company that I was the director of IT services, and they were restructuring their organization. And so they walked in one morning and said, well, we're going to let you go. And I was like, oh man, geez. And the first thing I did was panic.
No,
and started sending out LinkedIn messages and resumes and actually, I got accepted for a job as a IT manager in Alaska.
Alaska, wow.
Yeah, and I live in Tennessee, so
that's a big shift.
A little different. Anyway, they asked me to come, and I was just pondering that and thinking about that, and something in my spirit just said, you have been working like this all your life, and you want to get freedom and be free and be able to come and go and move as you like and not be W-2'd. So you can either go do this W-2 or you can start to consult. And that's kind of what happened. I just chose to start consulting. I called the company. I said, hey, I'm sorry, I'm not coming. Matter of fact, I'm actually working right now to try to get them as a client.
Good turnaround.
Perfectly in my wheelhouse. Mm-hmm. And I just started down that road. And a year and a half into the consult, I happened to be, I can't even remember where it was, but somehow or another, I came across the CTOX information. And I was like, oh, this is easy. That's a smart idea. And so I clicked the button and I ended up with Lior, and you know, he's a convincing fellow.
To say the least.
Yeah. So I took a couple of days to kind of ponder that, and I decided, yeah, let's do that. And so I signed up and got started. Started to work with the tools and things like that. And that helped me transition the current client that I had from a straight IT consult, hands-on, deep hands-on, to a fractional role now. And we're actually getting ready to, they're working on their side of my contract, that the CTOX contract I sent them.
We love templates. For the,
yeah, for the master service agreement. They're about to sign that, and we're going to be in agreement for a full year with me tapering off my time on site throughout the next 6 months. And by this, hopefully by the 6 months, if they follow the plan that I've using the tools CTOX gave me, I've developed a plan for them, and I have a full plan out for the next year, and with action items and what they have to do, and what mm-hmm. small things I've got to do, and what vendors got to come to the table, and changing the whole, they actually had an IT department originally, and they got rid of the whole IT department.
Wow.
And are now looking to be a completely outsourced thing, which, you know, is a lot different than they're used to. So their change is not easy. And so they're having to make this shift. Mm. And I'm coaching them through that shift along with, you know, using the information I've gotten at the CTOX meetings and talking to some of the other CTOXers. I've been able to, matter of fact, just yesterday, I got a good idea from one of the guys in our cohort. And I was like, okay, well, and I applied that, and I've made some change just in the last 24 hours using the information that I was able to get.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. So we've gone from employee to hands-on consultant to fractional executive C-suite advisor. So like, how has that changed, like day to day, how has that changed for you?
It has changed because now I don't have to, you know, being hands-on, you're engaged and you're talking and you're doing and you're all this stuff. And with the fractional role, you're backing your hands out of it. And you're basically saying, Mr. Client, you need to do this. And here are the top things you're going to need. And, you know, if we need to get you some staffing augmentation, we can do that. And that'll help you get through this pinch. They're actually right now rebuilding their network. So they're doing a full swap out of their network. And you know, I was like, I'm not climbing up to put APs up. No.
Not my job.
But,
not my job.
Yeah. But I can direct it. I can make sure that it gets done properly. I can work with the network engineer to make sure that the network is working properly. Mm-hmm. I can help do the testing, because that's just quick stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm not changing out APs for you. And so it's helped the organization understand, because they had a full IT team. Mm-hmm. And now they have none. And they looking at me and I'm going, I won't be passing out Adobe licenses. I'm And so I've helped them actually develop the internal team that will oversee all their IT or technology related issues.
Yeah.
And I basically am working with that team to try to help them understand the things they've got to think about when their phone systems due for renewal next year. So they're I'm helping them think about what they got to think about and whether, you know, whether they get one application or three in order to handle it. And how much does it integrate with their EMR and et cetera. So it's, there's a lot of little things where I'm now doing more advisory role.
Yes. Just
talking about here, think about this. Don't think about that. And so I'm writing and documenting a lot more. My emails are not, oh, by the way, your laptop is ready to go now.
It's much more using what you've learned over these many, many years in the industry and being that decision maker, being that strategic lead. And as you say, taking your hands off the keyboard and saying, what you get access to is my brain, right?
Right, right.
Oh, that's great.
So it's they're turning the corner. They're making the adjustments. I think in about 4 to 5 months, I will be
completely hands off. Completely,
yeah. And
that's fantastic.
The rate that they're paying me changes.
Well, this is the other thing about CTOX. So time and time again, people come to us with proposals and say, hey, I think my value is this. And time and time again, Lior is like, no, you're wrong. It's much higher. And every time he's done that, bar none, they have signed for the higher price. So really like just teaching you to like know your value and then how to show it, because it's just one thing knowing it, but like, how do I actually demonstrate that to somebody else? Can be quite tough, can be quite the challenge. Right.
And that actually happened for me here in this particular client. They were paying me by the hour and had me down real low on the hours. I was like, no, we're not doing that anymore. And that's when the transition changed, and it's $15,000 a month.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. There's a big shift here, but thinking back to kind of what you'd learned before, what's your approach now when a client is stuck in this old school thinking, like the overspending on the printer supplies? So how do you approach that now with a client, and has that changed over the years?
I approach their need to change by simply going out and finding information about whatever it is we're trying to change, present that to the C-suite and be like, look, you can continue to make your spend be over here, or we can do something a little smarter and maybe reduce what we're doing by applying these particular things and principles. So you pay less, get better service, because at the end of the day, it's not about the company's technology. It's really about the people that they serve.
Mm.
If they can't use the technology to serve the people, then you've got to fix the technology. But at the end of the day, your thoughts should always be about who it is on the end. I mean, since I work in the healthcare space, that is my focus. I want the person coming through the door to have a desire to come back.
Mm.
And it not be because the provider couldn't enter the information right, or the nurse couldn't do X, Y, Z. It's because, you know, the technology worked, so the patient had the ability to come in, be seen, be checked in the front, be seen, and get out, and
it's smooth.
You know, have a wonderful experience, because the technology could be the best in the world, but if the process is in the middle. And I work with the customer sometimes on those issues too, those soft skill things that they don't consider, because, you know, most cases they've been, you know, they've got a variety of generations working in their environment, and this is the way I've been doing it for the last 20 years.
We've all heard that.
that's not necessarily the way you ought to be doing it. And so the technology has advanced so greatly that, I mean, helping the organizations transition out of that stuff into the new items that can make things faster and better for the customer. That's where we want to be.
And what would you say is the biggest mistake in tech for healthcare organizations? Is it that lack of transformation and updating, or is there something else, particularly in the healthcare space, that's a challenge?
What I've seen is they're stuck doing it the way they've been doing it.
The change.
The applications are coming along. The EMRs are really developing, and if there was ever a case to have AI in medical, you'd want to make sure that it was the EMR providing that, because it puts the onus, legal onus on the EMR provider or vendor versus, you trying to do some stuff in-house. I have a whole conversation I can have with groups about that. But the biggest part, I think, is just dealing with the individuals changing how they do things. I mean, the applications are now easier able to talk to each other. So if I'm XYZ provider at XYZ place and I need to send an information note because the patient is actually in Alaska having surgery and I need to send that information, I can just, it's digital transfer. It's not picking up things and scanning it, paper and scanning it in and then faxing it over. That stuff, those days are gone.
Gone. Too slow. Too slow. Too slow nowadays.
You got to depend on people to touch the paper, and it's just me. It's one of the biggest things that I'm experiencing even now, trying to get them to understand that you just use the digital transfer. Most everybody has now has an address. It was required by HRSA, the main medical organization in the United States. It was required by them to have this ready. And so the EMR vendors have supplied, and it's just people making the transition to do it, to use it. That's the big part. The vendors do upgrades once or twice a year. And what I've also seen is the clients don't necessarily spend the time training or learning the new stuff. So they're still trying to find workarounds for the old stuff when the workarounds have been fixed and all they have to do is enter the data.
These are like soft skills. Like that's so interesting because we think of technologists as just and the CTOs of being like hard technology people, just knowing every single possible technology inside out. But actually what I'm hearing is going, actually the soft skills are possibly the same or even more important because all the technology in the world doesn't help you if nobody's going to use it. So what ratio would you give that, like the importance of those soft skills versus just pure technical knowledge?
I'd say it's 70-30. I mean, the soft skills is what will help the people use the technology, help them get in the mindset of using the technology. Many times, I found when I'm working with IT teams, and I found that, there are basically kind of teams. There's the kind of teams that are kind of like crazy like me and always want the new, latest, greatest, make it go faster, sleeker, easier, better. And then you have the other team that basically makes sure that the water and the water tap turns on just nice and make sure that the computer boots up and oh look there it goes. And they're satisfied, and in healthcare, because it evolves so much, I mean, it's evolving daily. If you don't, you know, help the organization move in those directions, they'll be stuck.
Yeah.
And they'll be doing it, you know, they'll be sending out faxes on a POTS line that's not managed by anybody anymore.
Yeah.
And could potentially get cut off because the AT&T tech is out there going, la, 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 la.
it's incredible. And bringing people along, being able to explain the technology and talk to it and understand it from their perspective, like, this is here to help you, even though we know you didn't get into the healthcare industry to work with technology. That was not the goal of joining. I want to do tons of paperwork and use 4 different technology systems every single day. That was not the goal when you joined healthcare. So
yeah, you didn't go to school a million years to become a doctor.
To do anything other than help people.
The unfortunate thing is that they have to use the tool.
Everybody,
you know, it's required for the billing. It's required for insurance companies to validate the information. It's required by the Fed.
It's a necessity now. There's no getting around it. But the easier we can make it for people, then, you know, the better. And that's, you know, for sure a role that the fractional CTO plays. So, Paul.
Absolutely.
You said, in your own words, you quoted this at me before, you want to 5X your business in 2026. That's incredible. I love the ambition. I'm excited to see you. But let me ask you straight, like, what's the plan to get there? What are we doing?
Well, I'm going to be calling Donna almost every day. To review my marketing information that I'm sending out. I will be calling Lior quite regularly. Lior, okay, I got a proposal here. Now, please look over this thing and make sure that I get, and Marissa, you know, I'm running into this roadblock. These people are acting just kind of, how do I overcome? And after I've taken the advice from you all, I'm fairly certain, and that I exercise that information and put
Very
it to good use.
Yes.
I fully suspect to do actually more than 5X, but 5X is a decent target.
Conservative. Conservatively 5X.
I still have to build some infrastructure in behind that, but I believe it's doable. I believe it's very doable.
Yeah. So what's your approach now, given everything you've learned to, like, marketing, to getting out there and getting those clients? I know that's something that a lot of people struggle with. So talk us through kind of like what your approach before, and then, like, what's the approach now, knowing everything that you know, to get to that minimum 5X? Oh.
Well, my approach before was, God, I hope somebody calls me.
Hope is not a strategy.
Yeah, let me just put another LinkedIn picture up and maybe they'll recognize the fact that I made a change on my LinkedIn. And but through the meetings and the sessions that we've had in CTOX, I've learned how to use some tools and to really get after the marketing thing. My LinkedIn page is being updated now 3-4 times a week. I'm posting questions and things like that, and even posting stuff about me so people can learn who I am. I'm not Paul Benson the smart guy. I'm Paul Benson the smart guy with a personality. I'm human.
Yes.
And we can get together and relate. CTOX has taught me so much, broadened my horizons, and helped me think not just about getting through today, but what's out there? How can I reach out And you guys have given me a variety of tools, and I'm just executing. I'm simply executing. I've hired a little intern. I've taught her some of the, given her access to some of the CTOX stuff so she can see. And she's learning and she's developing. My CRM is, what was a CRM before? It was a spreadsheet. Now I have a full-blown CRM and she's building cold email campaigns, and she's got like five or six already ready to go. And I'm just going, ah.
She's doing a great job.
So yeah, I've used, I've done, I've listened, I've learned, and now I'm executing on the things that you all have taught. And I fully believe 5X is doable.
Oh, I've no doubt. I've no doubt with you because you have a bias to action. And I think that's the one thing it's difficult for us to teach you. We can give you the tools, we can give you the templates, we can give you the outreach script, we can give you the step-by-step guide. But if you don't have that bias to action, nothing we can
Yes.
do.
Yeah, and it was real difficult for me initially because I was on site with my hands so deep in stuff, and I'd be missing meetings, and I can't, get home too tired to listen to the recordings. And I was like, I've got to do this. And I did, I found a way to do it. And I just, and then what I, one of the biggest things I would tell anybody starting out new is, if you're going to do it, do it and be consistent doing it. If it's, you can handle four emails a day, do that. Challenge yourself, maybe after a couple of weeks, and see if you can do eight and multiply and just keep trying.
Keep building.
Right. It's not, I mean, I've heard all kinds of people get gigs like that, and that's great. In my situation, it hasn't been like that, but I've been consistent, and my LinkedIn profile has grown now, and my website is now ready, and I've redesigned it based on all the things that CTOX said to do, and here we go.
Here we go.
So,
Here we go.
yeah.
I think that's great advice. Just start off small and build, and the consistency rather than I'm going to do 2 hours of work today and then nothing for like a week. That, an
Right.
extra four emails a day. We could all fit in four emails a day easily,
Right.
right? We could all fit
Yeah.
in one LinkedIn post a week
Right.
consistently. Like we can all do that. Like you say, just do it. You just need to take the action and just do
Right.
it.
I've talked to several people that say, I'm just too busy and blah, blah, blah. And, I've got to feed my kids, and I get it. But you also have to, you've invested in this program. You need to take the steps to keep moving. And it doesn't take a whole bunch. If you have the right, and it hits the right place at the right time, you could literally triple your income, and all you did was, I sent out four emails this week, and that's what happened.
Sometimes it is just that. It's that combination of, I just took this one action, and that one action, it's like you go to one networking event and you meet one person, and that person is the person that turns into a client. And it was just the moment of, I'm going to push myself out the door and go to that networking rather than sitting at home and watching Netflix.
Yeah, I can tell you, I you because of CTOX, I've done a lot of stepping out my comfort zone.
Good.
I
We love
actually
that.
did a Nashville Entrepreneurial Center pitch, 3 minute. The IT guy who likes to be behind a computer, quietly doing things, standing up in front of
Stepping out.
150 people.
Wow.
giving a 3-minute pitch.
That's fantastic. I hope you got it recorded. We'd want to watch that.
I did. I did. I did. And I'm actually getting ready to re-record it and put it on my website as a as a marketing tool. So I'm taking the things that CTOX has taught me and I'm just applying it.
Mm. Yeah. That's the only part of it we can't do. Is the client. Paul, thank you so much for sharing your journey and opening up. It's been so, so fantastic. So now we have our final segment. We're going to do a little special. Paul doesn't know anything about this. But take a deep breath. Yeah. I'm going to ask ChatGPT live right here, right now, for a thought-provoking, timely question. Completely generated on the spot. And Paul, you got to answer it. Are you up for the challenge?
Absolutely.
All right, let's go. Let's bring up my ChatGPT. Here we go. And I'm going to prompt it with, hello, ChatGPT. We love a bit of spontaneity. So we thought, who better to challenge us than AI? What question would you like to ask fractional CTO Paul at this exact moment in time? This is a good one. This is a good one for you. This is a good one for you. Paul, ChatGPT would like to know, what's one thing you now do as a fractional CTO that would probably get you fired in a traditional full-time role?
Say no.
Tell us more.
There are times when an organization, like if you're a W-2 employee and your boss comes to you and says, hey, Mr. So-and-so or Paul, could you do blah, 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 blah. You're like, yeah, sure. Yeah, I'll go do that. With the fractional role, that word no is okay to say. No, that doesn't make sense for me to do that right now or for the organization itself to do that right now. Mm-hmm. You might need to think about that. You haven't seen the whole picture. Let's talk about that. And I can get into conversations and engage with them to help them explore things they might not have thought about, which a lot of times what happens is, you know, they get hit by the client gets hit by the great salesperson who lays them out and they buy the shiny new thing. When in reality, all they had to do was go over there and fix the old small thing, change it a little bit, and save themselves $30,000.
Wow.
But they don't know that because they didn't think about that. They just got caught up with the shiny salesperson with the shiny toy.
They're just doing what they're told as opposed to
kind of happening in the AI with AI and the medical industry and how they're trying to respond to that. Mm-hmm. And many times CEOs need to be said no to. Because you're going to expose the organization in ways that you don't want. And your compliance officer will have their head spinning over. And Lord knows if it gets out.
Yeah.
Then the other people are coming wanting big money. So
more of a serious problem then.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Say no. I love that. Paul, I love that. That is such an important part because you're there to make a decision. What do we do? What do we don't? You're there to lead. And I think that coming, you know, as a CTO is so much more powerful than just having the yes, 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 sir, yes, sir, yes, sir.
The W-2 guy that's, I'm the CEO.
Yeah, I love that. Paul, that is fantastic. Thank you so much. That was a really, really good question.
I appreciate you. I appreciate everything CTOX does. Let them know that.
We will. Thank you so much. Join us again next time. stories, experiences, and advice you hear today are incredibly valuable, not just for CTOs, but for the broader tech community and leaders. To our listeners, thanks for tuning in to Inside CTOX. Don't forget to follow us on social media, tag us, and share your favorite insights from the episode. We love hearing your feedback. Make sure to subscribe and check in again for our next episode, where we'll continue to explore the stories behind the tech leaders shaping the future. Until next time.